Like Super Mario World, like Super Geno Land. Dude, I've gotten this strange obsession right now with Donkey Kong.
Really?
Yes.
You're listening to Outer Banks This Week with Autumn and Justin, a place for people to hear what's going on up and down the beach and get the truth about what really goes on around the Outer Banks. So here they are, Autumn and Justin.
Whenever you are, I'm just sitting here stuffing my face.
Yeah, I'm good when I'm crunching to the microphone, Autumn. As we embark on as we embark on episode 29 of the Outer Banks This Week podcast with Autumn and Justin, we do have Gino in here with us. He's going to be joining us for the show today. But the Outer Banks This Week podcast, all brought to you by Real Water Sports down in the Village of Waves, where, of course, you know, they always have gnarly waves. And it's looking
waves have been so great. Yeah.
Like, so I saw somebody post, like, about some, like, 30-foot swell, something that's going to be coming. Like, I don't know, it's not yet, but it's coming. So, again, if you want to paddle out in that 30-foot swell, which, unless you are a seasoned professional, I probably would not suggest doing so. Even at a seasoned professional. I don't know.
Yeah, there was a lot of accidents down south this past week of drowning incidents, and it literally says no swimming. And if you unfortunately, it was people here on vacation, too.
Right.
So, like, when it says no swimming, it means no swimming. And the people that's surfing in the water, they literally know how to. I know that they make it seem cool and easy and stuff, but it's just... Y'all stay out of daggum water when you need to.
Well,
all right.
Once,
and if you you want to learn how to surf, you can head on over to Real Water Sports.
There you go.
And then you can be a professional one day, and then you can avoid the no swimming signs as long as you got your board.
Well, then, if anything, go to the sound and kiteboard.
Yeah, exactly.
Do all that fun stuff.
Yeah, wind's got to be there. It's there, or foil board.
Right?
They got everything. Yeah, and that's where Nolan's school clothes all came from. So,
of course, you can't forget about Waterman's Bar and Grill and Waterman's Retreat in the penthouse.
You can't forget about the penthouse.
How could we forget about the penthouse, Autumn?
I know.
All of it can be found online at realwatersports.com. Again, we got Gino in here. What's up, Gino? Grab that microphone.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Man, Gino from Lost Colony Tavern.
We're
back
good because you're here with a beer, some food. I mean,
yeah.
Always the best.
Lots of fun things fixing to take place here in just a few moments as we chit chat with Gino. I believe Jared may be walking in a minute. Maybe so.
Maybe,
we'll see.
Maybe not.
We'll see. It's
we'll
all right. It's all good. But Autumn, I wanted to bring your attention real quick. So something that I feel like is noteworthy, it needs to be talked about, is the Washington Bomb Bridge. Now, do you know what the Washington Bomb Bridge is?
Yeah, I call it the Pirate's Cove Bridge.
Most of us do. The Manio Bridge, the Nag's Head Bridge. There's a bunch of different names for it, but it is the bridge that connects Manio with Nag's Head.
Right.
Okay. There is a some work going to be done starting on September the 18th, and it's going to go all winter, Autumn. We're talking about into next May, and I feel like it needs to be talked about. As per our buddy Sam Walker over at WOBX.com, so starting on September the 18th, the traffic's going to be shifted to the outside lanes of the Washington Bomb Bridge, while there a concrete barrier is going to be placed in the median.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So once that is done, that's going to take several days to do. But once that's done, the two westbound lanes of the bridge will be closed and all traffic will be diverted onto the eastbound lanes. Mm. So that's going to be a two-lane bridge at that point.
Just going to be a messy.
Well, what they're doing is they're trying to iron out the humps in the bridge.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, that's really bumpy. I don't feel the bumps. But again, I think we had talked a little bit ago, Autumn, you had said something about like some of the loaded trucks and trailers and things.
Yeah, and the RVs, the amount of RVs that actually come to this area, too, that are a little bit heavier than others. I've seen it come pretty daggum close. I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting behind this one.
Well, they're going to slow things down. It's going to be 55 to 45 mile per hour zone all winter long. Again, from September 18th until sometime in May.
Yeah.
And then they're going to reopen the bridge in May to all four lanes of traffic. But guess what? In September of 2024, they're going to close the other side and they're going to iron out the westbound or the eastbound side. And you're going to travel on the westbound lanes.
So it's like a 2-year project for them?
Yeah. So they're saying that the project in its entirety is expected to be complete by fall of 2025.
Good, yeah.
So we're looking.
I wish I could tell my boss, hey, I got this project. I think we need to do, but it's gonna be till 2025 that I can finish it.
We're embarking on. I mean, it's not quite autumn just yet.
Mm-hmm.
We got to another couple weeks, week and a half or so of that until that takes place. So we're looking at
September
22nd. Yeah, 2 years. Mm-hmm. 2 years of this, Gino. I mean, the bridge. Does it feel bumpy to you?
I mean, when you get down the lower part of it, when you're approaching Nag's Head, coming from Roanoke Island, yeah, I mean, it gets a little, okay. Yeah, like you're riding some waves a little bit.
Okay.
But I mean, it's never really bothered me. But I'm sure whatever they're gonna do is gonna.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, improve.
I remember the Virginia Dare Bridge. What was the one? I can never remember the name of it, Autumn. You always have to tell me. The bridge that connects Currituck and Kitty Hawk.
Why am I drawing a blank? Wright Memorial Bridge.
Wright Memorial Bridge. Yeah. The Virginia Dare Bridge is the new Man's Harbor Bridge. The Wright Memorial Bridge, I remember when they took that from two lanes to four lanes.
Yeah.
How bumpy it was going like west-north, you know, west towards the north or northbound, I guess we could call it. How bumpy that was when you first came onto it from the Kitty Hawk side. It was like boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, people lost a lot of stuff.
Yeah, too. So again, like they ironed those sides out
and
everything.
It took them a while as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So
there's a reason why they're doing it. I mean, I don't pull a trailer or anything like that, but I'm sure I've been in some bumpy trucks though. Like coming across there, it's like, holy hell.
Right. So I felt like that was worth mentioning because anybody that's listening that might be coming on vacation, trying to enjoy some of the shoulder seasons, the off season, and of course the locals that listen to this podcast as well. It's worth noting that that's going to be taking place starting.
It's
going to
slow your morning drive down.
Plan accordingly.
Yeah.
Plan accordingly because I don't need to hear it. It's, it took me an hour to get from Watch.
Oh, we're still going
to
hear it. You'll probably hear it from me. Like, daggum. Like,
honestly, I was very happy to hear about this project because prior to that, I thought that it was just my car.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Good to know.
New shocks check.
Yeah. So y'all keep that in mind as you travel. So 9/11 happened this past week.
Mm-hmm. There's air quotes again.
And I felt like we needed to just kind of mention that. Part of my shout outs is like first responders and military because 22 years ago, that was a pretty rough day for all of us. And of course, we all remember it.
For sure.
You know, yeah. Autumn, I'm curious as to where Gino was because I'll come back to you because I remember I was in Mr. Guiley's 11th grade English class, Manual High School.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's where I was sitting when all this took place.
Right.
And it all went down at, you know, the World Trade Center and everything like that. You have an interesting story, Gino. Do you remember where you were on 9/11? And most folks, you know, they're like, bam, they spit it right out.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I was working in Los Angeles, working for a production company over at the Paramount Studio. It was when the first plane hit, it was probably 6:30 in the morning with the time difference. Mm-hmm. And I was in my hotel room, I was working in a different part of town. So I was in a, woke up and saw it on the news. But, you know, in Los Angeles, you're always seeing highlights on the news of productions of films and TV sets. So it didn't look like anything, you know,
right.
It just looked like something Hollywood was working on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's when I actually started paying attention to it. And then they shut down all the studios. So we tried to go to work that day because they weren't sure what the next target was going to be.
You didn't know yet.
Right.
You know, are they going to try, you know, if they're hitting Symbols of America, they're going to try to hit the Hollywood sign. I don't know.
Yeah.
So they shut down all the production. So that's where I was.
Yeah. I got you. Autumn.
Yes. Justin.
What were you doing?
My school, so I grew up in Pennsylvania, and my high school was literally about 30 minutes from Shanksville.
Okay.
So it was my first period class and we were outside. It was your first or second because I forget the times now, but we were outside playing field hockey. And I feel like if there was a photographer for our school, I wish they would have grabbed that photo because we had a small airport by where I grew up. It's called Latrobe Airport, but it's like the size of Manio. So to have a commercial airplane be as low as it was coming over our school wasn't making sense. But we were all standing outside playing field hockey. And this low-flying plane came by, and it wasn't 2 minutes after that. You heard all the alarms in our school going off, and we were told to come inside, but we were outside, so it wasn't a fire drill, so we weren't quite sure what was going on because we were being told to be brought inside. And then we found out about that plane, pretty sure it had to be the United 93.
And it was relatively low, didn't
so
you say?
Low. So like, he was so low.
Like, if you had to, I mean, I know it's hard to say this, but I mean, like, was it loud? Like,
so no.
Like
so when you're standing at the beach,
loud when it was
when you're standing at the beach and you see a private jet come in to one of the airports, that's how low the commercial jet was.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it wasn't like I mean, it's low.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
To be going over our school, like we were like, what the
right?
You know, so
you just kind of you noted it, you heard it, that kind of thing, and then it's like, oh,
yeah, it
crap.
Still makes me shake thinking about it because I'm like, yeah, man, like that would the adrenaline because we were like, why is this plane like? Also, with our field hockey sticks, like, could you imagine just had that photograph, though, of, like, a whole high school field hockey team out there looking up at this low-flying plane? then in my mind, you know, being 35 now, looking back on it, like, what if that moment, because you hear the stories of it now, like, what if that was right. the moment that they were like trying to take back over the plane? Like, you think of all kinds of crazy stuff. Like, those people were fighting for their lives in that plane.
Right.
The plane you just saw go over your school.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's why I was talking to Big Boss Phil, and he was like, man, the one that hit the Pentagon is like 6 miles from where I was at the time. And he's like, dude, it was just so eerie. Like,
DC
and the surrounding areas of the days after were just so eerie. It was quiet. You know, there was no noise. There's just so much uncertainty. I was like, and his mother was in Wisconsin or whatnot and was supposed to fly back that day from Wisconsin to DC, and they like canceled her flight. His brother and his dad had to drive to Wisconsin to pick her up. And he's like, dude, I was like, that was pretty daggum scary. What? And he's like, oh yeah.
What is the one photograph from that incident that you guys remember? Like, now looking back.
The falling man, for sure.
Me too. Yeah.
It was too powerful.
Yeah. It was just like, you're in your mind, you're like, crazy.
Right. Yeah. Again, like I tried to explain to Austin on the way to school.
Right, like
on
what it
Monday
is.
Morning, like what went on, and I was on the verge of crying.
Absolutely,
and he was like, "Daddy, are you crying?" I was like, "Not yet." anyway.
But then, like, a lot of your age people went to the military, and a lot of people my age, because I mean, that's what you did. Yeah. I mean, because you wanted to. That's what you did.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say it like it is. I'll say it. Say it. Get mad. I don't care. Fight me.
It was just crazy situation.
It's a horrible situation, but one thing that George Bush, when he was sitting in a classroom with a bunch of kindergartners reading a book, when his Secret Service agent walked in and told him in his ear what was going on, and they did this little show about it, and they said, what were your thoughts when your Secret Service agent told you what was going on? He said, my first thought, who the hell would attack America? And I got pissed off. But like, he would, and I will tip my cap to him, because he sat there for about 5 minutes and kept his composure with those kids, and then like politely excused himself and went into another room, and like they briefed him on what was going on, you know? So like, that was, I remember watching that. And anyway, so I felt like we need to mention we're 22 years post, and it seems like it was yesterday to all of us, our generation.
Definitely something we all remember where we were.
So that goes, I'm going to roll that into our shout outs, because I was going to shout out to the first responders in the military.
Okay.
Because they do a tremendous job. And you think about all the different liberties that we enjoy. We love it if there's an emergency of any sort and they're right on the scene, whether it be EMT, fire, police. Mm-hmm. I just want to shout out to them and thank them and the 911 operators. A lot of times they get forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, like our friend Shelly.
Dispatch is important. Yeah.
You know, over at the 911 center here in Dare County. They are very important, because
it's
up to them to make sure that the emergency, you know, they can get the people where they need to be.
Keeping the person calm on the phone, too, is a very hard task to do.
There's a lot of that involved, so I wanted to make that one of my shout-outs.
It was kind
of
cool, because the firemen down at the Food Line at Avon were out there, and I guess that they put the flags up, like, right outside the building as the times went on and stuff.
Right.
And they had their big military truck out there. It was pretty cool to see it now that you're saying that. First responders. So
I think KDH did a march all the way to the Wright Monument of some sort.
Nice.
Yeah, KDH, fire, and police. So
nice.
I have one more shout out. And then, Gino, you had a shout out you were telling me about earlier.
I do. It's not nearly as powerful as yours, but yeah.
Well, I want to shout out right now, Autumn. There's a gentleman by the name of Adam Dye.
Okay.
He lives in Chesapeake. He and his wife come down here nearly every other weekend. This is the email that he sent to us. Every other weekend, if for nothing else, just to bounce around town, even in the off season. They probably come more in the off season because they know how much the off season can be a grind. So they are invested in coming down in the off season to invest in us. It's beautiful. He said, I love your podcast. My wife and I have been able to discover so many things because you talked about them. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy the show and wish you nothing but the best. Adam, thank you so much.
That's super rad, yeah.
You know, that just warmed me last week when we got that email. I was like, oh, man.
Did you tear up?
Oh, gee. I was like, oh, come on, man. Shit. Like, I'm not crying, you're crying. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I wanted to say what's up to Adam, and thank you so much for
the
encouragement.
What's up, Adam?
We really appreciate it. And, you know, if you get a chance, next time you're down here, go see Gino at the tavern.
Yeah, you have to come schedule your trip next time around, like, Oktoberfest, so you can experience everything.
It comes in the off season.
Well, now's your chance, bud. Now's your chance.
those are my shout-outs.
Yeah, I have some. Go ahead, Gino.
Do you want to go first, Gino?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna lighten it up a little bit, or else we're all gonna be crying.
Yeah, for real.
But I wanted to shout out. I'm gonna keep it with local heroes here. I actually have two.
Go ahead, if that's cool.
Yeah,
absolutely.
One is to Lisa and Marcelo Ortega.
Ah.
Those cats are so supportive of this community. I mean, you see them over there at Music, OBX, all their shows over there, doing, you know, serving food, the Manio Merchants meeting. They're always bringing food over there and making sure everybody's got a cold drink in hand. And it's not just stuff from their menu. I mean, they're making stuff specifically for this event that's not even on their menu. So they were this past Sunday. We launched our very first Service Industry Appreciation Night in the same time as Sunday Night Football. So we decided we're going to do a late night because there's nothing to do on Roanoke Island. On Sunday night, zero. Everything's closed. Unless you want to hang out at 7-Eleven or Speedway. Or maybe the Shell station in Wanchese.
Maybe.
So we decided to stay open late. Marcelo and Lisa were the first two down there supporting us. Marcelo said, come take a picture of us. So let's promote this thing. And I mean, I love those people. They're awesome. In fact, I was driving to his house last night after we closed up so he could feed me and my wife Daisy with some. they were cooking all day at their house, making just smoking chickens and,
nice.
And
had an awesome and Super made an amazing, Bowl party one time.
Yeah, she made her Super Bowl chili for it yesterday. And you know, and that's when I pulled in their up at their house and I heard Autumn on the podcast. I was catching up on last week's episode and she said, Gino, I need some shepherd's pie. I'll
and he delivered.
I was like, I don't need that, but I gotta make her a shepherd's pie for tomorrow.
Nice.
So the other shout out was actually to you guys. Not trying to kiss your booties, but you guys are always bringing people in, and you know, just and especially for the episode a couple weeks ago when you had Vicky and Micah in here. You know, I mean, it's amazing. You know, Vicky's been in the tavern here, you know, a few times and Micah at Fresh Catch, we've used her fish before and everything that they said was right. I mean, it's too few restaurants on the Outer Banks that are actually doing the fresh local seafood thing. I mean, you guys know we are 100% committed to that. We'll lock the doors and sell the place before we sell seafood, not from this island. So
that's exactly what you said too. Yeah.
And she was, they are two of the hardest working ladies I've ever known. So that's my other shout out.
Nice. Nice.
Sweet.
That's awesome. Good stuff, Gino. Good stuff, baby. What you got over there?
I want to give a shout out to Oceana's.
Oceana's Bistro.
Yeah. I ate lunch there on Saturday when I was randomly down south real quick. And they're just great people. And I feel like they did the breakfast thing now, which I didn't even know.
I knew they did breakfast.
Yeah. They just started doing that. Their sign's a little bit different, everything like that. But it's
their sign looks cool.
Yeah. They're just cool people.
Right.
And I deal with them and they're just rad people. So I want to give a shout out to them.
Good deal.
And I want to give a shout out. I picked up Nolan. So on Fridays, I pick him up from school. And it was my first Friday picking him up this time because, well, he didn't go last Friday.
Right, yeah.
So I went and I was standing there to pick him up in the pickup because Justin told me to be there way early. So I did. And I sat in the car and I started seeing other parents move. So my anxiety kicked in. I'm like, oh, so like I have to go stand up there too.
Right,
you know
what
I mean? But the amount of grandparents that I see coming to pick up these youngins that deserve a shout out is just crazy. Like just grandparents everywhere picking up those youngins. And I think that sometimes like me, I know how fortunate I am to have my mom be able to get Nolan. Sometimes she lives farther away, but whenever she can, like Nolan's grandparents aren't close by, but like, I know that they would be there just like those grandparents picking up those youngins at the school. But I think sometimes people overlook the grandparents and they do a lot, like a lot.
That's true.
Like your mom and dad do a lot.
Oh God. Yes.
Carrie's daddy does a lot for y'all. Like, I mean, it's,
I'd be lost without him.
Yeah. And I just wanted to give a shout out to all the Gagas, GGs, Paps, whatever y'all are called out there. Pop, you know, picking up those kids from school.
It is noticed. Definitely cool. Well, we're going to jump in and we're going to talk some more to Gino here in just a few moments, but I need to shout out right now to Kitty Hawk Kites, locations all over the beach. Kitty Hawk Kites is your spot for life as good gifts, wind art, apparel, toys, and of course they have kites. They offer parasailing, hang gliding lessons, and rentals for things like boogie boards and cornhole boards, just to name a few of their things. For more information, you can go online or you can also shop online at Kitty Hawk .com.
Thrill.
I got you. Ready?
Ready. Set. Let's go. Turtles in a half shell. Come on, finish it. Stop. Finish it.
Turtle power.
There you go. All
right. Stop. Here we go. All right, Autumn, as I was just saying a moment ago, we got Gino in here.
Yes.
Jared has made his...
He walked on in.
He walked on in, sat on down.
He smells right awful. So I'm just joking. I figured it'd drive him crazy.
Let me just start by, before we jump into these guys and talk about what they've got coming up this year and the rest of everything that's going to be taking place for the rest of, the rest of 2023. I want to start by saying these two gentlemen right here have really brought a lot to the downtown area of Manio. Okay. Let me tell you something. People talk and they chatter about everything, whether it's good or bad. And anytime I hear anybody say anything about Lost Colony Tavern, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. I've never heard anyone say anything negative about the tavern because they've got great product and they are so community oriented. It's insane. 100%.
Yeah.
It is amazing how much they have put back into this community and into Eastern North Carolina, the Outer Banks, everything like that. Everything they do is thought-minded, family-minded, friend-minded. It's all goes back. And I mean,
but fun too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Like they want to have fun. And that's what, I loved seeing how everything changed. I was like, this place. I was like, what is this place?
And it starts.
Why do they keep up? Like, I know it always was there, but then they really caught my attention when you started doing like the Oktoberfest and the Ghost Harbor. And I'm like, what is going on?
Right.
Like, I like it.
Well, it starts with great ownership.
It does. Yep,
okay.
Absolutely.
It starts at the top and it trickles down. Now, we've had Gino in here before to talk a little bit about the tavern itself as a whole, but we brought him back.
Yeah.
Wanted to talk to us about what they've got going on. They've got this Oktoberfest. And, of course, Jared, you better jump in here. Now, Jared has yet to make an appearance, so he better jump in, all right? We're going to learn more about Jared as time goes on.
Those of you who don't know Jared, and a lot of you heard me on this podcast before, Jared is the yin to my yang. He's the behind-the-scenes guy. So everything that we're doing over there is both of us. I'm just the guy you see all the time.
Right.
For better or worse.
Right.
Yeah.
But again, so these two poured into the community and they've got a lot of fun things going on in the near future. Now, we're going to talk about Oktoberfest first. We got all this food here. Okay. And we're going to talk about that first. Now, Oktoberfest takes place in October, at least I thought.
You'd think.
You would think it was Oktoberfest. Bye. What is up with there? Gino, Jared, y'all tell me, why is it not start like October 1st?
So Oktoberfest it's a celebration that it came out of the wedding celebrations for Princess Therese of Bavaria and Prince Ludwig, who later became King Ludwig. It was in the year 1810. All the brewers brought out their best beers that they'd been making just for the event. It's the style of beer that's served at Oktoberfest is called Märzen. It means March beer because a lager beer takes a little bit longer to make than an ale, say. So they start brewing it in March, and then it's ready for mid-September. But the reason why is because the ending date of Oktoberfest is a fixed date on the calendar. So it ends right around October 2nd or 3rd, depending on where the calendar runs that year. So as the event got more popular, people wanted to experience more of it, and the date started growing and growing and getting longer and longer. But rather than push it back into the colder Bavarian months, as you get into later October, they started pushing it back into September. So they would make it longer events. So now it starts in mid-September and runs through the first Monday or Tuesday of October. So our event here in downtown Manio runs concurrent with the Festival of Munich, which is September. This year is September 16th, which is Saturday, opening festivities, and it will run until Tuesday, October 3rd.
All right. Okay. Now, I was looking at your menu, Gene.
That he can't pronounce.
Yeah, yes. And you, I was like, you spelled beers wrong. Like, what was it? Is it a B E?
I'll chime in with that.
Help me out, Jared.
Of all the people that know Gino and how he is with literature and things like that, it's not spelled wrong.
Oh, okay, right. So it's not spelled wrong. So
it was
I've been
on purpose.
It wrong my whole life. What's up here? Is that how does that work? Now,
let him explain the details because he's good with the culture of why it's spelled wrong.
Okay. Yes, he is.
So you all. So B E E R is the English spelling of beer, but the Germans spell beer B I E R. So that is why
Okay. I thought it was a typo.
So you'll like Jared said, you'll never get a typo out of me. I'll put my paycheck on that.
Okay. So, all right. Okay.
But we try to. Not everybody gets a chance to fly over and hang out in Munich for Oktoberfest.
We've been twice.
Yeah, it's been amazing. It's an incredible experience, and everybody should try to do it.
I need to.
But for those who do not have the means to or can't get away from work, we're trying to present as much of that authentic experience as possible right here in downtown Manio. So we're trying to bring Munich to Manio for 17 days every year.
That's amazing. That is super cool. I mean, where else are you going to find that except for like Busch Gardens? And to be honest with you, no offense to Busch Gardens, but it seems kind of generic to me.
Well, when you were saying at Busch Gardens, if you've ever been there, so that size.
Right. So to give any, those who have never been there to Munich for Oktoberfest, when we say a tent, a tent could be, something you go camping with. But when we're talking about an Oktoberfest tent, if you imagine the fest house at Busch Gardens, now imagine that fest house, with its long running picnic style tables and little, beer stands and food stands all, running around the perimeter. Imagine that thing is three times as wide and three times as deep.
Do you realize how massive
that is?
That
is huge.
Okay, now take that and imagine 40 to 50 of those in one fairground.
That's a lot of damn people that you're partying with.
Oh, it's insane. Yeah. Gino and I have been together two times. Right, I kind of snuck that in earlier. But we've been twice together and yet have been able to get all the way around the whole thing in
really?
Two separate trips where we went 2 days each time.
Dang.
Now, whether that was the beer that didn't allow us to do that or it was the fact that there was something to the millions of people there every weekend.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And do they legit drink out of boots and stuff like that?
Oh, it's nuts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, one of the big things is to just drink. So most of it is just a liter of beer. I think the boot thing is more of a, like they sell them in the gift shops and stuff, but like the liter, which is a big, imagine a beer stein the size from your wrist to your elbow,
about the size of your forearm,
right.
Lengthwise.
So that's what you drink, and it's very common for somebody to they stand on top of the table.
Don't look at me.
Oh, you probably have.
Is there a story there?
Yeah, you have.
There is. I have a video now, too. I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah.
But you'll stand up on there. I've done it once. I did it. Yeah, a couple of years ago. Anyway, but the one thing we've learned is you never pre-game for Oktoberfest.
Right.
So I actually went once before. This is a funny story I should have mentioned. But I went in 2013 with some people I didn't really like.
Oh, Lord.
And I remember a little bit of that trip.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's take a drinking
one
then.
The thing you should know about Oktoberfest is you never pre-game at Oktoberfest in Munich. I did. I needed to take a mulligan. So Jared and I went back in 2018.
Something
2019 maybe. I don't know. That was many beers ago.
Then we
went, and then Jared needed a mulligan because he pre-gamed for Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
And so we went again, and we both experienced it because we wanted to present this authentic experience. We were really doing the food the third time around.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Oktoberfest
food. You
paced yourself
better.
Let's,
you learned.
Let's go there. Let's go there with the food real quick. So you brought some things in here. Talk to us about some of the things you have brought in here. Hot potato salad, which I was... I wasn't too sure about in the beginning.
I'm not. He was like hot. I'm like, man, that's the one thing I don't eat hot. It's like, and then it's mustard based. I saw that, so I was like, I don't like mustard based potato salad, but I'm gonna try it. And I was like, that's mustard based and it's warm. That you full shit. That what is that?
Oh God, it's good. Holy
it's
smokes,
good. It's so good. Yes. Yeah.
So that's German style potato salad. It's warm. It's mustard based. And that is very very. I mean, it's very authentic to what you'd find at the Oktoberfest tents.
That's crazy.
All of this stuff, the spatzel, which is the pasta that you tried.
It's like
dumplings.
A dumpling.
Yeah.
Oh,
and,
it's really good.
Don't you think it tastes like
I
a dumpling?
Did. Yes,
yeah.
It does.
It's better because of the Asiago cheese and stuff like that. It just
and the sauerkraut and the red cabbage, all of this stuff we're doing. We're not getting any of this stuff out of cans. Like, we're making this in-house. It took us...
the sauerkraut. Tell everyone how long it took to make the sauerkraut.
It was about 3 weeks to ferment the white cabbage that we chopped up.
And you can't find white cabbage at, like, Piggly Wiggly.
Everybody's got green cabbage and red cabbage, yeah. But I had to go to great lengths to get that white cabbage.
Did you
but
call Munich and was like, you call one of those guys you got up on the table Munich, with though, and was like, no. Listen, bro.
But I will tell you what I didn't get from Munich is, and that's the Bavarian pretzel that you guys had. The warm, giant, soft, salted Bavarian pretzel that gotcha. It was so popular at last year's event here in Manio that our guests and our employees said, please put that on the year-round menu. So we did. Jared's like, just give it to them. Just put it on the year-round menu. So I was like, all right.
If you're an establishment that has good beer and stuff like that.
I fought him on it. Like, I said, this should be tavern. Just only for Oktoberfest. Yeah. He's like, no, people want it. Just put
it
on
you need it. You're a tavern. You need a soft pretzel.
Yeah, with the beer cheese yep. and the two different types of mustard. And, yep. and that's like pretty much one of our most popular
items. Right.
Items. So do you guys go to the extent for Oktoberfest to like go through the whole, like, do you do shirts and like you obviously like I'm sitting here looking at a menu. So I know that I can see the logo and stuff like that. Do you change the lettering? What goes on?
We do this year. We decided to do a shirt again. Mm-hmm. All of our shirt designs are most of them are telling the legends and folklore of the Outer Banks. I think you guys have a couple of them yourselves.
Yeah.
This year I really wanted him to do one for Oktoberfest. It's killer design. It comes out this Friday.
Yeah. Shout out Britton Ricketts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
For all of our art.
Moondog does all of our stuff. It's absolutely incredible. It's got a guy in his lederhose and a beer girl in a dirndl.
Did you post a picture of it?
I saw a picture of it.
I did.
Yeah, okay. There was a sneak peek out picture, there. Yep. Yeah,
yeah,
I did see that.
It's on our Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And we're taking pre-orders. But it's a very limited run. So all of this stuff, a lot of the seasonal stuff, smart. Like the St. Patrick's mm-hmm. thing. And,
got to.
Yeah, and our ghost colony design, which...
After Oktoberfest?
Yeah, so once we're done with Oktoberfest, which is 17 days, runs 16th of September through October 3rd, then we're going to jump right into our Ghost Colony Tavern event Halloween. We have a new shirt design coming out for it. It is the Goat Man of Nag's Head.
Nah.
What? Oh, you better. I want a 2X at the Oktoberfest. I want a 2X.
I think all those pre-orders are taken already, so I don't know if we can help you.
What? Don't mess with me, Jared. Don't mess with me.
I'll wear a 2X. If nothing else, you can have one of mine.
Okay, cool.
Perfect. Justin's face was like, bro.
Yeah, because I was about to say, like, man, come on, dude.
Britton Ricketts' design on that Goat Man is, you know, we've heard the stories mm-hmm. for generations. Generations around here and God. But nobody's ever seen him, but very soon you will. October 2nd.
Awesome.
Nice. Tell us a little bit more about Ghost. Dude, I'm freaking stoked now. I want to hear more about this. Let's talk more about Ghost Tavern. Let's go.
So Ghost Colony Tavern is our Halloween event. I will say there's some surprises in store. You're gonna have to just drop by and see what terrors await you at the tavern downtown.
Oh,
and then we're gonna jump right out of that into our second year of our Christmas pop-up, which is this year is the Island of Misfit Toys at Frost Colony Tavern.
Frost Colony Tavern!
Which is my favorite time of the year.
Yes.
Christmas.
For sure.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful time of the year. All right, man, dang.
And we'll, so the whole Roanoke Island of Misfit Toys will be our theme for the Christmas parade. And we're going to have a special menu of some cocktails. And, you know, a lot of people are doing the pop-ups around town. You know, I know Paul Richards is doing it this year and the distillery.
Well, they are.
Yeah.
Oh,
so.
Look at you getting people to move around
don't put it all on us. Yeah, everyone's starting to get
I get that,
more
but at least
things.
They are. Yeah. Like, I'm stoked for them that everyone's catching
on. Yeah, I think
they're
part of the Christmas Island thing. And you know, so
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool what's kind of going around town. But, yeah, man, we're really excited to just... keep, you know, like I said on the first podcast I was on with y'all, I have to feed Autumn's soul at this point because, you know, otherwise I'm in trouble. I can't show my face around town.
I love the fact that you take the time to do this. You could just be another restaurant that's just every day and have great food and great beer. That's all you really need to run a restaurant, I guess. But you guys just take it a step ahead, and I love the fact that you take the time into Oktoberfest and Ghost Tavern and like the Christmas stuff. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things that a lot of people, I don't know if they just don't invest the time, but it takes a lot of energy to do that.
Hell yeah,
it really does. You know, everyone's busy.
Yes.
Right? Everyone works.
And everyone's
hard.
Drained after the
exactly.
summertime, too. They're like, I don't want to do this stuff. Right. Like, and you, I'm sure it's nonstop for you guys. And it's a lot, but it's
but we
it's
made a commitment to this. You know, we chose this location
yeah.
in this town. You know, I'm from here, right?
That's
I worked
right.
in this town with another job, right? I was always down here, and Gino loves this town. He's definitely going to die in this town. He's never going anywhere else.
Maybe sooner rather than later.
I hope not. But no, we made a commitment that if we're going to do something, we're going to try to do it the way that it should be done. And some people don't think we're doing it the right way. Others do, but we're doing the best we can.
Yeah. Nah, I think you guys are doing a great job.
Dude, haters going to hate, bruh. You know what? The thing is what you need to remember is that I will say for every 10, or excuse me, let's back up. Every one that says, ooh, I don't know what they're doing. Dude, there's 10 that love you. At least 10. I mean, we worked in radio. When we were in radio, dude, there was...
If they don't, good talk or bad talk, as long as they're talking.
Yeah, they're talking.
That's the just thing it.
The thing is you all put your energy, so much energy into what you do with the tavern, and it's being talked about, and I haven't heard anybody, like I said, when I said it a little bit ago, that's true. I haven't heard anybody say anything negative in regards to what you guys have and what y'all do and what you do for the community and how you keep these things going, and you're trying to make things fun, and you're trying to do all these different, like I said, I'm really curious about Ghost Tavern right now. Seriously.
I want to know more, actually, about your beers. So I flipped it over.
I guess we talked about the Oktoberfest food menu. We didn't talk about the beers. So what we do is we also bring in Bavarian beers for this event.
Like, where else are you going to try those?
And you know, awesome. Autumn has a job with Empire.
Yes.
And you know, she's doing like, you know, Sierra Nevada is part of that, and they've got their Oktoberfest. The thing we're
doing
is
they spell it the same way too.
They do, yeah. So, but we're not really doing the craft Oktoberfest thing. We are sticking to traditional German lagers that have been brewed
that's
in
amazing.
Bavaria for. Yeah, I mean, and there's this whole thing about like you know, there's certain geographically protected terms, like you cannot call a beer an Oktoberfest beer in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
You can't call it Oktoberfest unless it's brewed within the city limits of Munich.
You've told me this before too, when I was up there.
So if it's brewed outside of Munich, it has to be called a fest beer.
Yeah.
So, you know,
like champagne.
Fest
right,
beer.
For sure. And you know, there's a Pilsner beer.
Pilsner,
it has to be made in Pilsner,
Pilsen.
And Kolsch has to be made in Cologne. So, but so we're trying to stick to that. We've got all the Hofbräu and the Paulaner and the Hocker Shore and Augustiner Brau, Spaten. We've got all of that coming in, and we're gonna have it tapped and ready to go at 11 a.m. on Saturday. This coming Saturday, actually.
You should have brought a waiter or waitress with you, because I'd love to hear how some people pronounce these beers. Like, do they just point? I want that one. You know what I mean?
Well, the servers and bartenders, they know because we make sure of it, but the customers.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I would love to hear from your waiters or waitresses. Like, tell me how many customers.
Well, I
got to
be honest with
you.
We have a ton of people that come in there and they know these beers because they love them and they come for this event. We have people come down from Pennsylvania and Virginia just for Oktoberfest.
We had people last year from Munich actually come over and
we did
come for this. Yeah, they came 4 or 5 times the week they were here.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you guys even have the sampler flights on here, too. So, I mean, if you're sitting here, like, listening to this, and you're like, oh, well, how would I know which one to get? They have 2 different options of the flights, too.
And probably the thing we're most excited about, we did this last year, too, is Paul Sharon over at Lost Colony Brewery. He does something for us that is just incredible. He brews one beer once a year specifically for this event for us. He doesn't sell it over at the Waterfront Beer Garden. It's a Bavarian style lager. It is a Dunkel is the style of beer, and he calls it, of course, in Paul Sharon style, Monkey's Dunkel.
Monkey's Dunkel.
Yeah. So that is a beer that Paul brews just for Jared and I, just for this event, and it's perennially our top seller.
Very nice. Well, Oktoberfest, we're knocking on the door of it here in just a few days. I'm going to run through about October 3rd. This Saturday.
Yeah, 11 o'clock. Those kegs are...
I will be the first boar.
You know what? I don't have my kid this weekend, so, I mean, I might...
Look you out.
But I'm going to have to bring him back because he's going to love that pasta.
Take it
like,
to
I
him.
Already know that he's going to love... No, I'm going to take him to Oktoberfest. You give him a beer. Tell him, sit up. Let's grow up, boy.
Yeah, well, look it up. And you know, we talked about this before, but, you know, our staff has heard this out of my mouth a million times, though. We're not selling food and beverages. We're selling an experience.
It is, yeah.
So our entire staff is going to be dressed in lederhosen and dirndls. And, I mean, it is going to be, we're going to be playing the oompa music of Oktoberfest, you know, and it's an experience. We're bringing Munich to Manio for 17
boots?
Days.
If I was to bring my Lucchese boot up there, and we're going to fill it up at Chug beers.
We were able to get two boots. One went to Jared's house, and one went to my house.
I mean, so I'll bring my own daggum boot, and start chugging some beers.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Ailey is probably listening.
Hunter, don't mind us.
Yeah, don't, please.
Oh, fellas, this is really going to be a lot of fun.
It's amazing. And again, thank you guys for giving life to an area.
That's the word I was looking
for. It's like
life.
We are an area that has so many restaurants, fantastic restaurants. A, you do the whole seafood, like you guys, it's 100% local, like we talked about.
Absolutely.
Before, like that's huge. And then to do things like this makes a huge impact to someone who lives here like me, because I get to enjoy this and I get to come and do something fun. And
yeah.
Go to one of my favorite restaurants that has a little bit different of a menu that I can try.
Right.
You know, and
it's so good.
So it,
and we love,
yes.
We love that, you know, the locals support that. We really do. It brings a smile to our face, seeing everybody out there having such a good time.
Yeah.
Doing things that can't really get anywhere else.
No. So yes, thank you again for just bringing life to this area. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Autumn, we're going to jump into some events here in just a few moments. I only got a few we're going to skim over.
Okay.
Some of the ones, the heavy hitters. But I want to shout out right now to Wanchee's Off-Road and Diesel Performance. My buddy Ryan Walker over there. He's a specialist at Kill Devil Hills is where his Wanchee's Off-Road shop is. From general upkeep to major modifications like performance suspension, lift kits, basic vehicle maintenance, he's got you all situated. You can check him out on Facebook, Instagram, or you can call up my man Ryan over at Wanchee's Off-Road at 252-715-0025.
Gotcha.
So,
his daughter made Nolan a necklace the other day.
She's my bestie.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man.
So when I'm helping at traffic in the morning at school, she's like, bestie.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, hey, bestie. And I like wave to her. And anyway.
You're a great person to have out there at the school, man.
I don't know about that.
You are. You hype my kid up. So I know that.
Look, I just like to party. You like to party, Jared?
Absolutely.
All right. Gina likes to party.
I mean.
Do you drop off your kids at school?
I don't have kids.
Okay. Well, that's right.
I drop them off every morning and
do you see him?
Pick them up every afternoon.
I saw you the other day. I beeped and you just kind of.
No,
like
I
didn't
don't.
Know me.
I see.
No, I'm
I
just kidding. You didn't see me.
I did
beep
a lot.
He does such a great job out there. Like it's my kid's favorite thing about going to school, and he's only been going for a week because of the hurricane and whatnot. But like,
so my son will be at the elementary school next year. He's still over
okay.
At the, yeah, so.
Okay, I gotcha. All right.
Well, like I said, I see Ryan Walker from Wanchee's Off Road. I see his daughters walking up there every day. So
yeah,
great guy, first class all the way. So again, on Facebook, Instagram, call him to 715-0025.
In air quotes.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
On just a few events we're going to go through real quick. We're going to start this coming weekend. Starts a week long of the ESAs over at Jeanette's Pier. That's going to be going on starting the 17th and going through Saturday the 23rd at 8 a.m. every morning.
What's the ESAs?
The Eastern Surfing Championships.
The Eastern Surfing Associates.
Oh, I wrote that down the wrong way.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Eastern Surfing Association.
The Eastern Surfing Association. Eastern Surfing Championship.
Yes,
that's okay. I screwed that all up.
It's okay.
All right.
Everyone knows that knows. It's a big surfing competition. It's a great thing to come watch. We're going to have great waves. I mean, great waves.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, check it on out.
It's looking really good for it. Skipping ahead over to like the 6th of October from 6 until 8 here in downtown Manio. It's first Friday. It's also homecoming at Manio High School.
Nice.
Again, if you can go and watch and participate in, or not necessarily participate, but be a part of in the excitement of all Eastern Northeast North Carolina Outer Banks High School sports, I encourage you to do so. But again, that's their homecoming night.
Well, and also the first Friday is whenever it will be Ghost Tavern then. Yes.
Ghost Colony Tent.
So everything is colony. So it's
always
Frost Colony, Ghost Colony,
Ghost,
and Frost.
Frost Colony. Got it.
Yes.
Coming up again, starting Saturday, October 7th and the 8th will be the Doug Jazz Music Festival. We also have the 12th Annual Bluegrass Island Music Festival coming up at Festival Park.
Such a great time.
Yeah, Thursday through Saturday, the 19th of October through the 21st. And then let's not forget about the Seafood Festival that's coming up in October as well. That's going to be on Saturday, October 21st at the Soundside Event Site starting at 10:30 and going until 6.
Yes.
So those are some of the heavy hitters. Of course, you've got all of your trivia nights, any live music, anything you'd like to do in between those dates can all be found online at outerbanksthisweek.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of things still going on, guys. There's not, summer's not over.
Not yet. I want to thank, well, before we jump in and wrap this whole thing up, I want to shout out right now to Saltbox Cafe. That charming
speaking of amazing food.
Yes, charming cottage style restaurant right there in the heart of Collington Island. Come on in and meet chefs, the owners, Randolph and Amanda Sprinkle, and they prepare a tasty array of food featuring local seafood, fresh meats, and produce. They're open every day except for Tuesdays, okay?
So
closed on Tuesdays. Sunday, they offer their Sunday brunch. They've got nightly music, takeout. I believe their tapas menu is about to come out in the near future. Their menu's forever changing, so I suggest you go online and check them out at thesaltboxcafe.com. Thesaltboxcafe.com. And they're reservations only, so you need to keep that in mind. And you need to call them to make reservations.
And they, in the off season too, they do these fantastic like wine dinners too.
Right.
That if you are a fan of wine, or maybe you're not, and you just want, you know, go try it out. They pair it with amazing food. Like Randolph takes the time, Amanda takes the time to like make sure that it'll taste good with that unoaked Chardonnay or that Prosecco, or you know, it's just fantastic. So love it so much.
Well, call them to make that reservation. 252-255-5594.
All right,
we're going to wrap this thing. I want to thank Jared and Gino from Lost Colony Tavern coming in again, hanging out with us. Definitely the life that has been poured into the community from them and the tavern has been amazing. We've got Oktoberfest. We've got Ghost Colony and Frost Colony. Was it Prost Colony, Ghost Colony, Frost Colony?
Yeah, so Prost is how you say cheers.
Yes.
In
Prost!
We learned that on Friday.
So, and then,
there we go.
One beer bitten. One beer, please. I know how to say that.
What is it? Say it again.
Un beer bitten.
Un beer bitten.
That sounds like it could
See,
be
you
a
can get now you're now ready, you're Munich ready.
Can I walk into
Absolutely.
Prost Tavern or Prost Colony rather during October and say un beer bitten and they'll know what I'm saying?
I will.
If I say that to your bartender, un beer bitten.
She might call us and say that someone's saying some crazy stuff.
Yeah, because that's what it sounds like to me. I'd be like, excuse me? What did you say?
They'd be like, we don't speak Wanchese. What are you talking about?
We don't speak Wanchese.
You might get Gesundheit as a response.
Or something you don't want.
I'm telling you. And if you haven't had an opportunity to meet Jared or Gino, if you're in the tavern, you ask for them, they'll come out, they'll say hey, and they'll chat it up with you. And they're fantastic folks. Again, they're definitely some people you want to know. For sure. Yeah, love them so much.
Always a great time.
Absolutely. Coming up next episode, Autumn, on the next episode, we're gonna be doing this thing from Fish Heads Bar and Grill.
Oh.
This coming Sunday, okay, the 18th. Is it the 17th? Sunday the 17th. I get my dates always mix them up.
That's okay.
Sunday the 17th, we're going to be at Fish Heads Bar and Grill. We're going to be there. We're going to start doing everything at about 11 a.m., and then we're going to go until we get tired.
And so is everyone going to, we having everyone come up too?
Yeah, won't everybody come hang out with us?
Right.
Yeah, be part of the show. Why not? This is going to be like the freestyle episode where everybody just comes in and we like, all right, let's freestyle battle.
And the waves are going to look beautiful too. Can I bring my board? While you're talking to some people, I can just.
Whatever. You can go jump off the pier and paddle out in those gnarly waves.
Can't jump off the pier.
Oh, yeah.
It's against the law.
But don't they have, like, a beer there called the Pier Jumper? Like,
they do.
Why don't they call it the Pier Jumper if you can't jump off the pier?
You don't want to jump off that pier anyways. Pilots underneath of it. It's not
that
great, dude.
Yeah, I was employed by them for a little while, so I understand.
Gary's told me where if I ever do, but, you know.
Well.
And that I will be banned after that, so.
Well, it's a good time. It's always a good time at Fish Heads Bar and Grill. It's a milepost 18 and a half on the beach road in South Nags Head.
Yes.
So we're going to be out there doing the podcast from there this coming Sunday. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Got really dark in here. I feel like we're all just like sitting in here.
Yeah, I know.
Dark together.
It's always dark when Jared walks in the room.
Dun, dun, dun.
And smelly. Just joking. I'm going to bomb. It's going to drive him crazy. I'm going to say that every time.
All right. We're going to roll on out of here. Outer Banks This Week podcast episode 29, all brought to you by Real Water Sports down in the Village of Waves. Thankful for Tripp and his crew down there
for sure.
All everything they do down in that that area of the world, the Outer Banks Forever group that he is a part of.
Yeah, he does so much that people... that he doesn't, you know.
Yeah, he don't talk about it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he's not going to. It's like, you know, these two individuals, right. Very humble individuals that are sitting in the room with us. They don't go out boasting about what they do for the community and everything like that. They just do what they do.
Just do it. And show up.
Then it's like, it gets noticed. Mm-hmm. And again, mm-hmm. we talk about it. Right. Others are talking about how fantastic of the individuals that these two are that we have with us today. So thank you again, gentlemen, for coming in.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it. Looking forward to all the fun that's going to take place with Prost Colony. Ghost Colony.
Prost?
That's what
October
I said.
Prost Colony.
Ghost Colony. Frost Colony. See, I had it right. She likes to try to correct me even though I know I was right the first time. Can I have a hug?
Isn't that what women do?
That's what they do. My wife does it to me all the time. All right, we're out of here.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
We appreciate
thank you for
fellas.
Coming on in.
Thank you.
Bye.
Later.
Do you want to give me the...
Another epic episode of the Outer Banks this week with Autumn and Justin. Whoop whoop! Follow them on social media and listen every Thursday for a new episode. Whoop whoop!